Remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. It comes to us this morning from Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning in the 17th verse. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let me see. It seems to me that the word follower has taken on a whole new meaning these days. For example, how many of you are Facebook followers or have Facebook followers? Through that social media, we're invited to follow someone's life as they share some of that, sometimes even more than they should probably, but and even worse, and I said I shouldn't call it worse because I'm a social media dinosaur, obviously, but different. Any Twitter followers in here? Twitter followers are popular these days. Through Twitter, we're invited to follow someone's life, particularly their thoughts, in sound bites, 140 characters, which really gives you room to share something profound, right? Then there's things like Instagram or Snapchat, where we follow someone's life in photographs. Photographs which are supposed to go away in 10 seconds, which apparently tempts people to share things they really shouldn't share. And they don't go away in 10 seconds. They're out there somewhere. Today, people follow lots of people that we don't even know. People are following sports figures and movie stars, and they're all screaming, "Follow me," and bragging about how many followers that they have. I looked it up. Katy Perry has the most. 108 million followers for Katy Perry. Maybe she should run for president because Donald Trump only has 46 million. I hope nobody tells him. We'll never hear the end of it. We're so into following such people that are really popular and have great followings can get elected president. I hear Oprah is considering a run. By the way, she has 41 million followers, which I'm sure makes the Donald really happy. That's 5 million more. Then there are other kinds of followers that we've had in our day. Lots of people follow music groups. Now, some of you are too young to remember this, but I remember Deadheads. Some of you do. Deadheads followed the Grateful Dead. They followed them all over the country, going to concert after concert. Some of them literally hundreds of concerts. I always thought hallucinogens would do that to you. It's like sports followers, too. There are lots of sports followers in our world. I mean, how many people follow the University of Georgia Bulldogs? Some people follow at a distance. We just check out the score, see who won or who didn't win. Other people are a little bit more involved as followers, you know. Some people, they know all the players and all about them, maybe even wear the gear. Some people even literally follow them where they go. Some people followed all the way to Pasadena, California this year. Followers. We follow a sports team or a movie star. We follow because I get something from that. pleasure, excitement, something to brag about or complain about. Though I don't know why, since I don't have anything to do with them winning or losing any game. And the truth is, it really doesn't change anything fundamental about my life, whether they do one or the other. On another level of sports following, some people would say that University of Georgia coach Kirby Smart was a follower of Nick Saban. Some of you might know, he literally followed Saban from one team and one school to another. 10 years, he was his assistant coach. I am sure during those years, following Nick meant he was learning from him. He was modeling what he did in coaching and putting together a team. He was doing what Nick said, because I'm assuring you he wouldn't be his assistant coach for 10 years if he didn't. Some might even describe him as a Nick Saban disciple. Now, the reality is we're all followers. We're all followers of someone or something, right? You could also argue that we're all disciples of someone or something. As independent as we think we are in our thinking and acting, we have all learned from and we are modeling ourselves after someone. Parents, for example. Scary, isn't it? How much the older I get, the more I'm becoming like my mother. We see it in ourselves. Teachers, coaches, mentors, even peers. How we think, how we behave, how we dress, how we speak, how we work, even how we live in relationships with each other are in some ways modeled after someone else. Unlike most animals, we are less instinctive than we are instructive. Today, we're looking at the story of Jesus inviting or calling his first disciples, or we would call them his first followers. After all, his invitation was simply, follow me. In the passage, we see that Jesus had different kinds of followers, however. Another way you might put it as you looked at that story was, on the one hand, Jesus had a following, a big following. On the other hand, Jesus had some followers. His following was described in that story as that great crowd of people that started showing up from all over the area, wherever, every town where Jesus was preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons, where he was feeding multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, and always holding out hope that he might get back to that turning water into wine thing one more time. So they all gathered, big crowds of people everywhere he went. But there were some fundamental differences in his following and his followers. His followers, for instance, were called. His following, it seems to me, were lured. In other words, the following showed up because of what he did, and the followers were there because of who he is. The following were always there to get something. His followers were there to become something. The following came and went. The followers never left. And while Jesus always had compassion on the following, he never turned them away. For the most part, he would heal and feed the following while he was teaching and mentoring the followers. The reality is, there's nowhere that indicates Jesus was interested in a following. In fact, we oftentimes find him trying to escape the following. He was telling people that he healed, "Don't tell anybody what I did for you. I don't need any more of this." Sometimes he would even say really difficult things that challenged people, and some of the following left. On the other hand, we do find that Jesus was extremely interested in making some followers. And he gave his life to that end. And then he gave those followers the responsibility after him to go and do the same thing, make more followers of Jesus. Because that's still our invitation. It's an invitation I want to explore this morning for a few moments. What does it mean when Jesus invites people, then and now, to follow me? Well, first of all, follow me, the invitation itself, says something, doesn't it? Follow me. Following Jesus was and is about following a person, not a philosophy. We follow the one who John says is the Word made flesh. not the Word made words. We are not following a set of rules, though He did call His followers to obedience. We're not even following a religion, which in some ways is a combination of both philosophy, ideas, beliefs, and rules. Following Jesus is a way of living, and it is a way of being. We are conforming our outer life by obeying His commands. At the same time, we believe His Spirit living in us is transforming our inner life, the way we think. Another way to put it is, following Jesus is simply becoming like Jesus. That is, to do everything we do in the way that Jesus would do it, as opposed to doing everything Jesus did in the way that we would do it. We sometimes try to do that. The way Paul described it in Colossians 3:17 is, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is simply another way of saying, do everything we do as if Jesus Himself were doing it. Now, we can't do everything Jesus did. You know why? We're not Jesus, right? I am learning from Him how to lead my life, not how to lead Jesus' life. His life was unique to Him. He has already lived that life among us and lives it eternally. But I'm learning to live my life in the manner that Jesus lived His life. You might say that discipleship or following Jesus is learning to live my whole life as Jesus would live my life. I mean, think about it. How would Jesus live if He was married to my wife? How would Jesus live if He was raising my kids? How would Jesus live or work if He was doing my job? I mean, work, after all, is a good example. I mean, think about it. Work consumes more of our waking hours than anything else we do in life. It takes more of our energy and attention. So if I merely exclude that from my following Jesus, that one big chunk of my life, because I just work, that's just work, I just work over there, then I quickly become a part of His following and not one of His followers. There are no part-time followers of Jesus, then or now. We sometimes talk about people who are in full-time ministry or part-time, but there is no such thing as part-time follower of Jesus. I mean, when it comes to work, for instance, if Jesus was doing my job, your job, whatever job we have, I seriously doubt Jesus would be, you know, the religious nag on the job, but I am pretty sure He would do every job, any job, with a level of integrity and quality and passion and compassion that exceeds that which we may be striving for now. In other words, in following Jesus, it could well be that what I do is not nearly as important as how I do what I do. For His followers, this is the focus of our lives, versus the following, which only occasionally would come and engage, and only when they wanted something then, like help and hope in time of desperation. Secondly, follow me meant submission. It meant a willingness to relinquish control of my life. If I'm following, what does that mean? It naturally means if I'm following, someone else is leading, what the word means. And it means I'm willing to let someone else lead, submit to their leading. You remember Frank Sinatra never said, I did it my way. Followers of Jesus don't do it my way. They do it Jesus' way, whatever it is. Which is one of the real challenges. As a general rule, most of us fear giving up control in life. We like to be the one who determines what's next. But what Jesus was teaching His followers is that submission to Him is really the way to true freedom in life. Remember this great invitation? Find in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Is there any heavier burden than being in control? In control of everything and everybody. Take my yoke upon you, He said, and learn from me, which means submit to my leadership. For my yoke, my leadership, is easy, and my burden is light. In following Him, We simply become willing to go where He leads. Sometimes we'll find it is not where we would have chosen to go, but it will always be where He needs us to be. Thirdly, follow me meant a willingness to detach. Jesus, remember, said in that passage we read, follow me. And James and John said, left their boat and their father, and they followed him. When you think about why we get attached to things, almost everything we get attached to is related to our security. We get attached to things because we all want security. We want relational security, financial security, job security, going on and on. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we have to take a vow of poverty, but it does mean we will find our primary source of security in Him, not in what I have. Detachment always creates fear in us, anxiety in us about our future. But what Jesus is doing when we follow Him is He's teaching us how to live beyond fear and in faith. Faith in Him. It doesn't mean we have to leave our family, but it does mean we become a part of His family in which He is head, not me. Fourthly, follow me meant an openness to change or flexibility. Follow me, He said to those first disciples, and I will make you into what you are not yet or are not now. One of the things we are most attached to in life is my own identity. My own style, if you would. Meaning, I am really attached to my way of doing things. But remember, following Jesus is learning how to live my life like Jesus would live my life. So, if Jesus was me, what would Jesus change about me? And I have to be open to live my life like He would live it. I have to be open to change. The hard part about change is in the beginning, you know, I change it. Change feels unnatural. When I start changing something that is sort of a part of who I am and how I do things, change takes time and repetition. It's like if you play a sport and you go get a lesson, golf or tennis player, whatever. It feels real unnatural when somebody tries to teach you to do something a different way. It feels awkward and difficult. Or like changing the way I cook. You go to the doctor and said, you cannot cook everything you cook without bacon grease anymore. Which I don't know how my mama cook anymore. Be awkward to try to change how I cook. It would be more awkward to change the way I relate or the way I react to people. Because I can tell you, the older I get, the less I like change. Which is why teaching children what we do here, what you do at home, in particular modeling for children what it means to follow Jesus, is really important. So that they grow up with it feeling natural from the beginning, not something they have to awkwardly try to change, force change into their life. Finally, lastly, follow me meant we have to make a decision. Following Jesus requires clarity and commitment. I have to be clear, and I have to be sure that I want to be like Him if I'm going to follow Him. It has a yes or a no response. Because remember, it wasn't a question. Follow me. It also means there is no putting it off when He calls. You might remember a story of some people who Jesus called and they started saying, I'll follow, but first let me go take care of this. I'll follow, but if I can get on the other side of this, I'll be ready. And He left them. It also means that once we start, there is no turning back. You may remember that line, once we put our hand to the plow, there's no turning back, He said. If for no other reason, that if we turn back once we start to follow, we will always know we shouldn't have. And we will live with regret for the rest of our lives. You might remember that story when the following and the followers were all around Jesus. And Jesus said some very hard things to them both. Many of the following started leaving. Jesus turned to His followers and said, are you going to leave me too? To which Peter speaks for the followers and says, where else would we go now? You alone have the words of eternal life. Peter knew, as hard as it was, incorporated into his life what Jesus was saying at that moment, to leave now, there was nowhere else to go. No one else who had what he had could do what he did in them and for them. And because of what it asked of us, unless we just want to be part of the following, there really is only one reason to follow him. And it is because of him. It is because his life is so compelling, so beautiful, so admirable, so good, so wise, that more than anything else in the world, I want to be with him and I want to be like him in my life. Make no mistake. We kind of like a following around here. We like it when a crowd shows up. But he didn't ask us to build a following for him or for us. He asked us to invite, to enable, to inspire people to answer a call to follow him. Because can you imagine what you would be like if I did? Can I imagine what my marriage would be like? What my family would be like? Can I imagine what our nation or our world would be like if we followed him? But know this, he doesn't call worlds or nations or communities or churches. He calls individuals, one at a time. Maybe today, he's calling you to follow him. To follow him. To follow him.